Listen.
Oh, my God.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
I don't believe this.
Number 5.
You know, we all magically look at our computer, our desktop, our tablet, or our phone, and search the internet and think mindlessly about how that happens, right? But there's all kinds of organizations that are working to make it faster, to make it better, to make it more secure. In fact, there's an organization called Unicode Consortium, and they do all sorts of things, important things around the internet, to regulate it, to standardize it, that kind of stuff. But most importantly, they are really responsible for the care and nurturing and control of emojis.
That's what we care about.
And it is plural. Is that the way to say it? Because I always thought it was just emoji.
Well, apparently either is acceptable. I prefer emoji because I feel like it's a Japanese word, and so you don't say tsunamis. So I feel like you say tsunami, a series of tsunami. Or something. Anyway, no, I say emoji.
The fact that we're having this conversation.
Kind of ridiculous, isn't it?
It is.
It really is. But anyway, the most important thing is that this organization has just announced 51 new emoji that will be debuting next summer. And here's some of our favorites. A UFO, finally. Finally. Because, you know, if you are captured overnight or something and you've got limited time to send a text,
you can't type UFO. It takes too long. Too many thumb strokes.
Right. It's just easier just to go with the UFO emoji. This one I can see getting a lot of use. What a shame we didn't have this through the whole political season. A shocked face with the head exploding. It's like, yeah, good on you guys. We could have really used this in the last 6 months or so. Thanks for that. Right?
I like the face with the mouth opening and throwing up.
That's
going to come in handy for college kids across the country.
Yeah, right. What about the... I don't see the use for this, but I guess we'll find a way to work it into our text messages. A woman breastfeeding. Like, really...
You're sending a message of what you're doing on the park bench and can't talk right now, I guess.
Well, hang on. If you're the one breastfeeding, you're not the one with your mouth full. It's the little one with its mouth full. It can still speak. I mean,
you've
can still speak.
Yeah, you've got the other hand free.
Right? You've got, anyway. A sandwich? Okay, I get it. We've got all sorts of food. And a piece of pie. I get that too. I love this next one, a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah. Look, my arms are so short.
Oh my God!
A witch, a wizard, vampire, elf, zombie, genie, mermaid. You know, we need all these things.
These are important things
to have as emoji.
Yeah, and then because the blue, green, yellow, red, purple, and pink hearts aren't enough, we're going to have an orange heart.
I didn't realize we didn't have an orange heart.
We don't have an orange heart. We're going to have an orange heart, and we're going to have a woman in a hijab just to show that we're all inclusive and loving.
Here's the thing: 1,000 years from now, a future civilization will spend decades trying to decipher this ancient language of their ancestors. And I can see now the Discovery Holographic Channel. Ah, this pile of rubble. What significance does it have?
Yes.
That's not a pile of rubble. It's a pile of poo.
Yeah.
What did it mean to our ancestors?
Exactly. Exactly. We are. We're moving back to hieroglyphics.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon, all these stories are true. Even the names haven't been changed.
Number 4.
Sharon, have you ever had one of those songs that gets stuck in your head? Let me share mine with you as a parent, okay? Ready?
Yep.
Here's mine.
It's a small world after all. It's a small world after all.
Oh, lovely.
Okay. Yeah,
Do you puff your chest out nice and high and march along as you sing it?
No. You want to pull your ears off your head because that's all you hear for the 12 hours after you go to Disneyland or Disney World.
There is a term when you get a song or a lyric or something stuck in your head, and it's called an earworm. And there's a reason, British scientists say, there's a reason why some songs tend to stick in your head. And usually these songs have faster tempos, fairly generic melody, and unique repetitions, which that little thing that you just played certainly fills
all that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Apparently, some of the most common earworms are Lady Gaga's Bad Romance, Moves Like Jagger, California Girls by Katy Perry, and Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen.
Okay.
Now, let me tell you, I have an earworm right now that has been making me crazy probably about the last 5 days, and just randomly I will find myself singing one line. And it's not even in English. You know how people often sing the wrong lyrics to songs?
Yes.
Right. Well, there is a YouTube video that I just discovered. It's actually just the audio. There's no video to it. Of a phone call made to a DJ in the Dominican Republic, and he's requesting a song. And he says the name of the song is it a Reebok or a Nike?
Esos son Reebok o son Nike.
So that's what he's asking. And the DJ says it back, es eso Reebok o son Nike. Are you sure? What is it again? And the caller's like, yeah, yeah. Is it a Reebok or a Nike?
Esos son Reebok o son Nike.
Sí, sí.
Pero, ¿cómo se llama? ¿Cómo se llama?
Son Reebok o son Nike.
So he's sure, yeah, is it a Reebok or a Nike? And it's like, you must have it. It's really popular. You play it all the time. And so this DJ, who is brilliant, by the way, is pondering it. And it's like, what song is this? Is it a Reebok or a Nike? And then he has a flash of inspiration and the caller gets all excited. That's it. That's it. That's the song.
Será esta, brother. Será esta.
This is the rhythm of the night.
Esa misma, bro, esa misma es.
Esa
es.
This is the rhythm of the
Cuídate,
night.
Mi hermano.
So now my earworm, I find myself singing, es eso Reebok o son Nike. Oh, yeah. Es eso Reebok o son Nike. I'm singing it all the time. It's crazy. It's making, it's doing my head in. But how good is that DJ to figure that out?
No kidding. That's fantastic.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon, improving your water cooler chat.
Number three.
Sharon, when you go, what kind
go
of...
Go where?
When you go, like, you know, to wherever there happens to be after you're done with this life and you move on to whatever
it is.
You mean
when I cark it, when I kick the bucket, when
yes.
I die?
Okay, when you kick the bucket. Yes, when you pass on, when you drop dead from working with me, you've had enough. I need to move on to the next whatever it happens to be out there waiting for me.
Oh.
When that happens... What kind of celebration do you want? Do you want to be cremated?
Do
you want to put it in the ground?
Definitely want to be cremated. Listen, I was terrorized as a child hearing stories about when they dig coffins up and things and there'd be scratch marks on the inside. Oh, my God. I decided when I was about six, that's it. Cremate me, burn me, I don't care.
Yeah,
I haven't really
you.
Decided what I want done with my ashes, though. Somewhere over an ocean. Somewhere over an ocean. I don't really know.
I want my wife to take me back to Hawaii. Take me back to Hawaii on the beach somewhere.
Oh my God.
We did that with my mom.
You weren't born in Hawaii. You weren't like what's the well, you're back
But that's
to,
where I want to spend know, but, eternity.
But that you say that you say back to Hawaii, like that's where my heart is, that's where
yes.
I was born, where my roots are.
Well, the point is, I can't afford a place in Hawaii now, but when I'm dead...
You can have a waterfront home forever.
Thank you, yes.
Oh, there you go. Well, there's this guy in Ireland. His name's Barney Brack, and he passed away about a year ago, and his family says he loved a good party, had a great sense of humour, and his favourite time of year was Halloween. So they decided to go to a park in Dublin last week, and they scattered his ashes in a rather unique way. I didn't know you could do this, by turning them into fireworks. Basically, they attached his ashes to a bunch of bottle rockets and hundreds of his friends and family showed up for it. And one of his closest friends said afterwards that he was like the unofficial mayor of their town. Everyone liked him and he would have just loved that kind of a send-off that he got. What a fabulous idea.
I love that. I want a celebration. I want people gathered around watching, you know, binge-watching all of the Star Trek episodes I love so much.
Oh, God help me.
And then take my ashes to Hawaii, to the beach. I'm telling you, that is exactly how I want to go out.
Listen. Listen.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
Number two.
Nick Denbo is 17. He lives in Ohio. Nick, buddy. I feel your pain because my mother did exactly the same thing. Mom left the plastic on her couch my entire childhood, I swear to you.
Really?
Oh. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Did she take it off when guests came over?
No. No, and here's the other thing. She had the plastic on the mat because it was a convertible couch. It pulled out into a sofa.
Sofa, right.
So when I stayed over, the plastic was still on the mattress, which means every time you turned over, it would crinkle and wake up everybody. My entire life, that was what staying over Mom's place was.
I think a lot of people can identify with that, and I think it was a generational thing. I think there were people who, you know, once upon a time did leave the plastic on or had that room that was just for guests, right?
Well,
so the family doesn't sit there. That room, the door stays closed, and that's for when we have company.
So think about that for a second. Poor Nick. and his mom has taken this exactly one step further. But you know what? I kind of dig what she did. This is leading up to Thanksgiving, which is brilliant.
Right. And she's like a lot of people, like a lot of mums, she's trying to get a jump on the big day. Because Thanksgiving, there's a lot of preparation that go into that. I know you fellas go, really? There is? No, there is. There's a lot of preparation. And she's getting an early jump on it. She has cleaned the living room. Ready for Thanksgiving, ready for when the family and everybody comes over. And she doesn't want it all mucked up by Nick and his brother. So she's posted a sign outside the living room. And it says, this room has been cleaned for the holidays and is officially closed until Thanksgiving. Apparently, Mum is tired of cleaning up after Nick and his brother. And so now the whole living room off limits. Thank you.
I love it.
Yeah. But there is a caveat. It says special permission to enter the room may be granted, but only under certain conditions. Number one, that the kids have showered and are dirt and odor free from top to toe, and that two, they are wearing freshly laundered clothing, the note says. If permission is granted, no food or drinks are permitted at this time.
Good for her.
Oh,
good,
love it.
Listen, when you have teenagers in the house, I'm telling you, it gets to this point because it doesn't matter how many times you have to tell them. They show up in bare feet that haven't been washed.
Oh, yeah.
There's clothes on the floor. I'm telling you, Sharon, not having kids, good choice, my friend. Good choice.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. For more, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Number one.
Okay, this is a delicate topic, so I'm going to tell it in a way that I think parents will understand, okay?
Okay.
So let's say you and your partner are alone at night, and let's say you want to tell each other a story. And this story is a very passionate story, and you follow me on the storytelling so far? You want to engage in some storytelling at the end of the day while the kids are asleep. So the question is, do sometimes you have an unsatisfactory ending to the story? Maybe the story ends a little too quick, or maybe you were hoping for a much longer story, but the story peters out at the end. It's not as good as you wanted it to be. You follow me?
Well, I do. Not everybody lives happily ever after.
Thank you.
Is that what you're saying right there?
That's it.
Yes, yes. Well, if, and this is really more for the gentleman, if you're the one telling the story and you can't make the story stretch out as long as, you know, your significant other would like the story to go, there's an app for that.
There's an app for that.
Oh, my God. It's called PEA, and it puts you through daily training exercises to strengthen your pelvic area.
Your storytelling.
Yeah, your storytelling. And it's interesting, you know, that your pelvic area can be so related to your ability to tell a good story.
Thank you,
elaborate on that. But it does all these exercises and things which helps you and gives you better skills
at storytelling.
Storytelling and, you know, making sure that everybody actually does live happily ever after at the end of it. Now, the guy who invented it said he needed it for his own storytelling issues, and it's worked for him. And now it's only available for iPhones right now. It only costs $279, and you can find it at getpea.com. That's P spelt P-E-A, not, you know, when you have a piddle. So getpea.com if you gentlemen want everybody to live happily ever after.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. Subscribe to the podcast on Audioboom, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Pocket Cast, and iTunes. This has been a Bytes.com production.